Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
It's kind of loud there, but it's me, it's Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, the place to be, doing what I do, because I do it for you, only because I can, and I am the Magnificent. Alongside me today is my usual well co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, or wannabe a legend. Thinks he knows it all. JT, ATM money. Speak to the people, JT. Hello. Jerry. 848. All right, Jerry Taylor. I can't hear you, but I guess I'll keep rocking and rolling with it. At any rate, we got a great show in store for you this week. We will discuss the great NBA series between the Pacers and Heat, troubles with the Yankees, Brian Urlacher's retirement, and NFL top 50 players. We'll also talk about the heavyweight MMA card happening tonight, which features the champion, Cain Velasquez, versus Bigfoot Silva. That promises to be a pretty good fight, so actually a rematch from last year. Or a year or so ago, where Bigfoot got totally dominated, and I mean totally dominated by Cain. And this was before Cain was the world heavyweight champion in UFC and stuff like that. And as of late, Bigfoot, you know, he came from Strikeforce, did a pretty good job in Strikeforce, dominated. You know, the UFC bought him. And then they brought some fighters over. He was one of them. So when they brought Bigfoot over, they thought, okay, well, he'll be another good contender. But they didn't expect him to come in and be a force. When he knocked out Mr. Overeem, he set a standard and a precedence for getting a title shot. And voila, he's getting a title shot. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's bring in our co-host. He's finally back. You know, he's geriatric. He's a little old and set in his ways, but he's a somewhat money maker. He wants to be the money maker. JTATM money. What's going on, dude?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
You got your life alert?
You're going to need your life alert. I'm telling you. You're going to need your life alert. You got problems, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm trying to help you, but it's okay. It's you are happen to be falling in the same month as me, as a lot of people happen to be that hard-headed Taurus, and boy, are you one hard-headed person, I tell you. But that's okay. You're hard-headed, man. I'm telling you, you are so stuck on what you have that. And you don't know how much help you need, but that's okay. That's okay.
Wow.
I'm talking about your fantasy baseball team. I'm talking about your fantasy baseball.
We'll get to fantasy baseball in a minute. Matter of fact, let's jump off there because we don't have that much regular baseball to talk about. But let's get into your New York Yankees.
Not mine. I'm a Met fan, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you're in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeff likes the Yankees too, but he likes the Mets. There seems to be some type of curse on the Yankees this year. I really don't know what it is, but it's like these guys are getting hurt left and right, left and right. And after, what, 8 games back, Curtis Granderson is back on the DL. Here's what Joe Girardi has to say about Granderson.
I talked to him, and he's down. I mean, you prepare to play during the course of the season. You get hit your first at bat in spring training, and then play for a week, and you get hit again. I mean, it's not what he probably had in mind this year.
I don't think that was what anybody had in mind when they were getting ready for the season. But the writing was all on the wall. And I told myself I would not draft any New York Yankees, but I ended up getting Tex Arria and Euculus. Tex Arria, I was hoping would be back earlier than freaking early June. Supposed to came back early May, and he's still not back. And Euculus went on the DL. Now Granderson's on the DL again. What's going on with the Yankees, guy? Is it in the water?
Let me put it this way. They're old, and sooner or later, things like this, for the most part, are going to catch up to them. And they it's one of these years that they got the injury bug. Now, there's plenty of time left in the season. Some of these guys are going to be coming back shortly, and they'll be able to contribute. I think A-Rod's going to be coming back probably after the All-Star break. Euculus and Texera are in the near future coming back. Granderson, quite naturally, is out. Phelps, I think he got hurt yesterday also, got hit in the elbow with a ball. So it's just, you know, one of these things. You can't – it's freak stuff that you can't control, you can't do anything about. You just have to adjust and move on. And just like you, I also said to myself, but I didn't draft any Yankees because I don't consider any everyday Yankee any fantasy relevant, in my opinion, on a consistent basis, except for the pitchers. The pitchers that are healthy, and Andy Pettit also, they're fantasy relevant, but the everyday players, no way. No way. I mean, they're too inconsistent, and they really don't put up numbers that I would want to use in my lineup every day.
So. Well, I like the fact that even though they are so old, and even though they are so banged up, they're still in first place in the AL East, which is amazing to me. You know, is it the pitching? I don't know what it is, but either the East is that weak or the Yankees are just that resilient. It's one or the other.
Well,
and I have no idea which one it is.
Well, look at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a weak hitting team. They have somewhat decent pitching. Toronto, supposedly that was the dream team, again, lining up a whole bunch of guys, and that was the dream team. And as always, Bautista gets off to a slow start. He's very inconsistent. Jose Reyes gets hurt. He's not back until probably another month or so. R.A. Dickey, anybody who was sucker enough to draft him early because of what he did last year.
I'm
telling you, is suffering for it, for the simple fact is you have to think about this. He's a knuckleball pitcher. He had one really good year. He won the Cy Young, and he's capitalizing because he can't blame him for that. And he's moving to a new league, and that league has a DH. So he's facing one more batter than he would face in the National League.
Well, I mean, I said that before we did the draft and stuff like that, that's something that folks should think about. You know, don't get R.A. Dickey. I didn't like him when he was with the Mets. You know, your team. I thought it was just like, okay, Clay Buchholz did well with the knuckleball, right? He did well. But then people caught up to him. And then you're going to go to a team in the same division in the same division as Clay Buchholz, where they're used to hitting a knuckleball. Come on. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay. And the fact is that It's the AL East. So it's a tougher division. And getting back to your original question about the competition, yes, the competition in the AL East. Look at Toronto. Toronto's going through a whole bunch of problems trying to get this so-called dream team together and to be able to function, pitchers and the everyday players. Tampa Bay, like I said, is a weak hitting team, and they have pitching. The Baltimore Orioles are the only real competition, I think, from the Yankees because they have decent pitching and their bats are pretty good. So even though the Yankees are winning the division right now, they've caught lightning in a bottle on guys like Vernon Wells, like Overbay, like Hafner. They've caught lightning in a bottle, these guys, and these guys are probably overachieving and don't know how long they're going to be able to sustain it. But for now, with the combination of their pitching and the combination of what these guys are doing with the bats, they are where they are. They're in first place.
Still wouldn't buy them, though.
Excuse me?
I mean, I still wouldn't buy anything that the Giants have. I mean, not the Giants, the Yankees have. I'm saddened at the fact that the Orioles aren't doing better. Well, not really, because I don't have any Orioles on my team. I've got a couple of good players on my team. Now that we're going to talk about fantasy baseball, we'll have to discuss this. I mean, it's something I really don't want to talk about because I haven't done too well. Are you dying over there? You're dying? I mean, you okay?
You wish I was dying.
I sure do.
Because you don't want to hear my mouth, but that's okay.
It's all right. I'll survive. Here's the thing. Talk about the trade we just did, and I'm gonna say why I did it, and even though I wanted a different player, but we can talk about this real quick. I made a deal with Jerry, and I promised I wouldn't do it. I've been doing a lot of stuff I've been promising I wouldn't do, but I need some help now. I made a deal with the devil, and...
Oh, yeah, I'm a devil now. Okay. Okay.
And I thought it was a pretty good deal, because previously what I did was I traded for Zach Greinke and another player, Fernandez, the rookie pitcher, or not rookie pitcher, the young pitcher out of Miami.
Right.
Yes. And I didn't get a start out of him yet, but prior to this, JT made an offer. He wants Greinke, and he wanted Greinke. So, he has two pitchers I really wanted. And, instead of giving me the pitch I wanted, he gave me one of them, which I was really sold on. And I think it's going to work out for me. However, I'm going to miss a start possibly if the trade goes through before his first pitch on Sunday. Hopefully it won't, and I'll still have him, and then Jerry will have to wait for him until the end of the week to pitch. But I'm talking about Mr. Burnett of Pittsburgh Pirates, and he also threw in Doug Fister. Now, he didn't want Fister. He still hasn't told me why he didn't want Fister. We're going to talk about it in a minute. I know
nope,
Fister
no
has
problem.
Been helping
no
Skelter
problem.
Lately. He's been helping Skelter lately.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't want him. I wanted Matt Latos and A.J. Burnett, but he wouldn't budge on that. So I wasn't going to fight. So he gave me Burnett instead of both of those guys. But go ahead and expound on the reasoning for your trade offer and why you wanted to get rid of Fister so badly.
It's not that I want to get rid of Pfister so badly. Pfister is a name, and he's a good pitcher. Regardless if he's going through a rough time now, all pitchers throughout the season have, for the most part, have a rough period. They're not going to be perfect for the most part from start to finish in the season. I like Pfister a lot, but I have to give up something to get something. So I figured Pfister is a good pitcher. He's on a very good team, very good offensive team. So he's going to give you decent strikeouts, decent whip, and a decent ERA. And he's 5-2, I think, right now? So it's not like I'm trying to dump him off because I know I got some inside information and I just want to get rid of him. It's the fact is he's a decent pitcher, and I have to give up something to get something. I'm really just like I was told you last year, and I'll tell you again this year. High risk, high reward. You got to give something to get something. So I'm not afraid to make trades that other people think, well, why would you want to give this guy up? I'm not afraid to do that. So I gave up Pfister, and I really didn't want to give him up, but I gave him up because I still have a plan to give up to do other things. So I gave up A.J. Burnett also to get the pitcher I want, which is Zach Greinke, which is fine.
So who are you trading Greinke to in order to get the other pitcher you want? Because I know you don't want Greinke.
No, I wanted Greinke. I have a plan on what I'm doing. As soon as all these trades go through, I'll implement my plan.
You have two trades. You have two trades up right now.
Have more than one trade in the hopper. I'm trying to make another trade.
They're getting voted on.
That's fine. That's fine.
Right now, it's only two of them. One between you and Five Tool, which I hope doesn't go through. I'm going to tell you right now, I voted against it.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. I think that was even trade. But because you wanted Brandon Phillips. See, that's wrong, man. That's wrong. I'm sorry.
Didn't vote against it. I didn't vote against it as the commissioner, though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it as the commissioner, even though I was tempted to.
Mm-hmm.
I was very tempted to, but I'm going to let nature take its natural course. It's going to go through. It should go through sometime today, I think.
No, it's supposed to be reflected on tomorrow. So by the 26th. Ours, if it goes through, will be reflected on Monday. You'll be able to play the players on Monday.
But anyway, that's that.
I thought the trades that I put out there were pretty even. I mean, I think they're pretty. Huh?
I said they possibly were. However, I really, really don't want you to get any better because I'm trying to take your spot and go beyond you. So whatever you got going on, I really am opposed to it, except if it involves me.
Yeah. See, that's not right. But that's okay. That's okay because I expect that from the league. I've been pretty quiet. I've been pretty quiet this year. And I've been humbled early, and I've had to work to get to where I'm at now, which is fine. And I'm not done yet, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days.
I think that, with all the greatness that comes from you, or supposedly comes from you.
Not greatness, no.
I'm just saying, you should go ahead and divulge your secrets.
No.
Of what it is.
No. It ain't no way. Because the fact is, the last time I said something about a certain player or players, it was a hell of a coincidence that after that show, one of the players I mentioned got picked up. Even though they dropped that player got picked up. I don't know why the person dropped them so immediately, but it's amazing. It's amazing to me, and I shouldn't say amazing. I just know I have to watch what I say, especially if I'm in the same league as certain people, because I don't know who's listening and who's not listening, and it could be detrimental to my financial future in this league, trying to win it.
Well, JT, you're supposed to have a master plan. So you're supposed to have a plan for after your plan. So if you got a plan after your plan, it doesn't matter if you got that first one.
You can't play that psychological game on me, man. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. It's not going to work.
Psychological.
I'm telling you right now, whoever's listening, besides you, Vic, whoever's listening on the league, you got what you got last week. You didn't keep the person, which is far and above what I would ever think, that you picked them up for a couple of days and then you dropped them. But there's other players out there that people aren't picking up or aren't looking at, and we'll see what happens in the next few days if these trades go through. If they don't go through, it's fine, because I've been doing well with these guys, and if they go through, that's fine, because the players that I'm losing, I can pick up other players that I see that have potential. And I'm sorry, but I cannot reveal what I'm going to do until these trades go through.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, personally, you know, my plan is to do a little more than you and come out on top and make the playoffs. It's going to be very, very hard for me to get the division lead because my division leader is extremely up there. I mean, there's some good talent. I think every division is pretty much even. There's somebody with 80 wins or so in each division lead. There's somebody with 50-something wins at the bottom of each division, and everything in between. So it's a pretty even league. You know, we'll see what happens. But your ability to do well is rather remarkable.
What?
So, I don't know why. If you want me to say, I'll bring it up.
What?
You're a son of a Mildred.
Son of a Mildred, and inherited knowledge of how to evaluate talent. How's that sound? And to tell you the truth, the guy that's in front of in your division, I don't know how the hell he's still in front, because his lineup is not all that impressive, especially his starting pitching. It's not all that impressive. I don't know what's going on in that division. He beat me. I think he beat me earlier, but I'm simply amazed by his he's leading that division. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Only thing I see is a schedule. That's the only thing I can see, that the schedules are better. You know, not better, but more accommodating, because I know playing your division first is really hurting my bag on my team. If I were to play the Central first, I think would have had a better shot at having a better record.
Well,
going through you guys, it's tough. It's like Murderer's Row down there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you don't have to tell me. Bully Street, PPD, and myself, we're knocking each other, we're killing each other. And just to show you this, I played Double Stitch, who's your division leader, yesterday, last week, and I beat him 16-6. So, like I said, I don't understand how the hell he's winning that division. I don't understand. Don't understand, because I looked at his lineup, and I'm saying, how the hell is he? Does he have that many games? One already. It's amazing.
It's the schedule. It's the schedule. That's what it is. But let's move off of that. But folks can listen to what it is that goes on in with the master plan tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll see what happens. Maybe he'll reveal something, or you'll reveal something. I doubt it.
Yes, I will. Because because the fact is one of the trades that's supposed to go through tomorrow, I plan to put the first piece on my team of the person that I lost a player, and I plan to pick up another player, and I put that player in place tomorrow as soon as my my trade goes through. So I'll know tomorrow morning before I go on air. If the trade went through, if it did go through, then I'll put that player on my team, and quite naturally, I'll reveal it on air. So not a problem.
Well, I'm sitting out there. I want Brandon Phillips. So everybody listening, vote against this trade. Vote against that trade.
Hey, that, you know what? That's fine. If you vote against the trade, no problem. It's not a problem because I hated to give up Brandon Phillips. So if I still have him, no one's going to get him. If he comes back to me, no one's going to get him because I got Brandon Phillips.
Well, why is nobody going to get him? Because I should get him.
No. We made a trade. How are you going to get Brandon Phillips? What are you going to give me for Brandon Phillips? Let me put it that way.
We can discuss that off the air.
Yeah.
If it does, politics. There's a political part to this.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I'm saying. You know.
Okay.
Fantasy sports and politics. Let's get ready to rumble.
I can't think of last year. Did I get knocked down in a trade last year in this baseball league? I'm trying to think if I did or not.
You should have if you did.
No, I think we had two or three trades last year. I give out pretty decent trades, man. I'm not afraid to put players out there. I'm not there's a couple players I'm stuck on that I won't give up, but the people I put in my trades are not bums. They're not bums. And since I got you on the air and we're talking about your fantasy baseball team, why in the world? I'm looking at your team.
Why are you criticizing?
No. I'm asking you this question because a simple fact is I wouldn't have this guy on my team. And I'm trying to figure out why are you so stuck on this guy, and you say you're set at that position, when I could give you a guy that within the top 100 in beginning of the season and is way better than D. Gordon, way better.
I don't need D. Gordon. If you notice, D. Gordon isn't starting. D. Gordon's on my team. D. Gordon's involved in a trade.
Well, whatever. Who would D. Gordon is beyond me, because he's D. Gordon. I understand he can steal bases, but he's batting 160 something.
He's not in my lineup, dude. Why
have him in the first place? I don't understand that.
I had him when he had just got called up, and he was doing well. And then all of a sudden he goes on this terrible rut that he's in. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe if he plays, I'll get something out of him. I didn't get too much out of anything from him. So therefore, he's back on my bench. But he's going to be gone. I'm not worried about that right now.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Because I was trying to give you players that were better than the players that you had on your roster.
No. Right now, Omar Infante is way better than Cabrera. Omar Infante is batting like .306 or something like that. He has more home runs.
Yeah, but Cabrera's a shortstop. RBI. Omar Infante's a second baseman.
Wait, I gotta go back and see.
You got Johnny Peralta.
No, I got Infante. I've got Infante at second. What are you talking about?
Right, that's Peralta, what I'm saying.
Is shortstop.
I understand that.
Peralta is batting .303. He has more RBIs and more home runs as well. So
yeah, but I understand that. But you always need a backup to one of your positions. And if you have a, you can get a better backup to so you don't have such a big drop off when you have to when Peralta is off. Then you do
well,
that. That's
okay,
that's what I'm saying. You have Andrelton Simmons, huh?
Because you want to do a trade line. Cabrera, who do you want on my team for Cabrera, straight up? Since you want to go that way. You want to put me on the spotlight. And Simmons,
what I'm saying, Vic, what I'm saying, what I was trying to get to you, to try to get you to understand before, was you have two guys, two shortstops, that don't even come close to Cabrera. Simmons and Gordon on your squad. Why? If you can, you can get another play. You got three shortstops, and if they're sitting on your bench, why do you have them? You follow me? What are you going to do with them? So you get rid of them, and you put somebody on there that's going to be able to you'll be able to use. You're just taking up a roster spot with a guy that you're never going to use, and because the fact is you want a third shortstop or a second shortstop. You got three shortstops, and one of them that you're going to use. If you have a second player that's in the same position, you can even if for some reason who you have in your utility or your infield is off, you can put the shortstop in one of those to make up for it. Or if that shortstop is off, you can put that shortstop in the shortstop position.
I'm just picking
that position. But what I'm saying is, it's with every position. Just because you have somebody outstanding in the position and it's an everyday player doesn't mean you get a bum just to fill your roster out with another position. If you can get somebody that's decent, that's not it.
I'm about to explain it to you.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Now, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with my starting lineup. My infielders, I'm planning, or the plan for me, and I don't mind telling you this because now I can just stop me. I'm better than you. My plan is when Mark Texeria, who threw a bump in my plan, he did, little Yankee bastard. When he returns, I have somebody to go at my infield position, and if I keep Simmons, or when I keep Simmons, I can put him in as a clogger, so to speak, when Omar's off. Or if he gets hot again like he did a couple weeks ago, I can put him in the infield and start him with Omar and Fonte. So I have a plan. But the problem is it's contingent upon this Yankee piece of garbage that's supposed to come in and get cracking. But I have to wait another week in order for him to step up and get it going.
But I have some folks in mind.
I have some folks in mind that I want to get and jump out there, like Nick Punto. You know, he's doing a pretty good job for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he doesn't get the at-bats. You know, he doesn't get the at-bats that's necessary. If he were like an everyday player, you know what I mean? He's in there now because Gordon is jacking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if I had somebody like that I just threw on my team and I could switch him in and out, cool, because he has, what, three positions. You know, that's ideal for me. The only problem is.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Oh, look at there. I think he's on my team.
Who's on your
team? Go ahead.
What I'm saying is this. I have two guys that I drafted early. Giancarlo Stanton and Hanley Ramirez. Both of them got hurt. I mean, like one. I think either the same day or back to back days.
And I tried to trade you Braun for both of those guys, and you were
no, you didn't.
No, Bautista for both of those guys. It was Bautista.
No way. That wasn't going to happen, and you know that wasn't going to happen. That would be idiotic move on my part, because Bautista is hot garbage in my opinion. He's a very streaky player. At least Giancarlo Stanton and Hanley Ramirez are pretty consistent. Sometimes they can go a funk, but for the most part, they're pretty consistent. The reason why I'm saying it is those guys are on the DL. Okay, Ramirez is the third baseman and shortstop. Giancarlo Stanton is a right fielder. I have guys taking up their positions. I have a third baseman that I picked up off the waiver wire, Jorko. Nobody, I can't believe nobody was picking him. He was hot as hell at the time when I picked him up. And he's playing my third base position. I picked up Cabrera, or I had Cabrera. But the reason I'm saying this is this. I got guys on the DL that I'm not waiting on, okay, because every week that goes by, if I lose because I don't have something that's good enough in that position, then that's going to hurt me, and I'm going to have to make that ground up. And it's not because it's competitive as this league is. It's very tough to make up week to week because the fact is the leaders may be winning, and you're just treading water. So you got to take advantage of whatever players for whatever amount of time you have them. Put them on your roster, use them until your big guns or whoever you want is waiting. If you have somebody on DL comes back, then you get rid of them, or you try to trade them off to get some other players that can benefit you in another position.
Yeah,
I understand. You have Euclid. I understand you have Teixeira. Excuse me. I'm not waiting on those guys. I'm putting guys in their place. And in my opinion, I think you're waiting too long. I think you're hanging on to a few of these players that you shouldn't be, and not getting rid of them and putting somebody else on the waiver wire and moving players in and out of your lineup that are going to benefit you from day to day. But that's my opinion. That's my opinion. But your biggest problem was your pitching, and you're holding on to pitchers that – and I broke it down to you in a text – how good your pitchers are, three of your pitchers are. Am I right about what I texted you about yesterday?
Now, listen, I understand. I understand and I agree. And, you know, I drafted – let me go back to this.
Mm-hmm.
I drafted Zito. No, I drafted Lincecum. But Zito and Miley, I got off the waiver wire. There was a reason why they were on the waiver wire. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point was I understood that was my weakness. That's why I pulled the trigger. I really wanted Natos and I really wanted Burnett, but you weren't going to give me both of them. That's why I wasn't worried about getting Cabrera because I was fine at second base. You know, I'm cool with Omar Infante if he takes a day off or whatever.
You keep on saying second base. Cabrera is a shortstop.
Shortstop. I had several of them. I had Ibar for a minute, but then Ibar went back on the DL, and then he started giving me a bunch of errors, so it was time for him to go too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was fine with that because I still had Bryce, I still had Braun, and so I had Bautista. Well, I got rid of Bautista, and just last day I got rid of him. He freaking goes off and goes full field and goes crazy, but that's okay. Another player that I was getting fed up with, and I am fed up with, but I got him, and I'm going to hold on to him, is David Freese. You know, the kid, he's having a terrible year, but, you know, if he can stay in the lineup, he can be potent. The problem is he can't stay in the lineup. So I see the issues with my team. I understand the issues with my team. I'm moving forward. That's why I'm making deals that will benefit me in the pitching era, because my bats carried me for, you know, the first couple weeks. Now it's my pitching that's carrying me, because my bats are slumping for whatever reason. I have no problem with that. Again, it's a quarter of the way of the season done, but I got to make a move. And the move is to at least get in the sixth place. Once I get in sixth place, I'm going to stay in the top six. I plan to move up. I want to be in the top three because that means I'm in charge of my division, but it's going to be tough. But let's get off of this real quick. Because,
no problem, man. No problem.
I love fantasy baseball. I love fantasy sports, and that's what this show is about, fantasy sports and politics. But we got a couple other things we got to talk about.
Sure.
So that was good commentary. Good commentary.
No problem.
Folks, if you want to chime in and get some fantasy advice, we're here for that as well. You can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that's 347-637-3220. Or you can go to our page and jump in on the chat line, which is blogtalkradio.com/DICHBK. Again, that's DICHBK. And I'm monitoring the chat room as well. So if anything comes up there, we can talk, hang out, and get some information in. Right now, I'm going to move on to the NFL.
Oh, you picked up Nick Punto. Oh, I shamed you into getting rid of him, huh?
No. I was getting rid of Gordon anyway, but the trade didn't go through. I was doing a trade with Hakuna. But it didn't go through, so we're moving on from there. But anyway, you ain't talking into nothing, punk. Anyway. Let's get to Brian Urlacher. Let's get to Brian Urlacher and him retiring. There was a lot of reports that came out, and Urlacher was quoted as saying if Levy was still there, he would still be a Bear. And, you know, I believe that as well because Levy loved Urlacher, and he fit Levy's system better than any of the other Bears. That's why he's still there, or he was still there, and a lot of the other Bears on defense are not. But here's Urlacher on the final contract that he was offered by the Bears.
It was $2 million. It was 1 year, $2 million. And for what I thought they were asking me to do, I wasn't going to play for the Bears for that. In the end, it wasn't an offer. It was an ultimatum. You take this, or that's it. It was never, if there would have been more dialogue between us about, hey, you know, this is what we have in mind. Tell us what you think. If you don't like it, we're probably going to part ways, but we want to give you the option. But it was never like that.
So it sounds like he was forced out, or it sounds like he was forced out, which happens in this day and age of the NFL. A lot of people say that the NFL is the only sports entity that the owners have the greatest amount of leverage in baseball. Contracts are guaranteed. In basketball, contracts are guaranteed. In football, they're not. So a team can say, you take it or you can go. If Urlacher was in like his third or fourth year, he probably would have took the money and played. But because he was a, 12-year, 13-year veteran.
Exactly.
Who established himself and he saved a lot of money because he went through a contract dispute with him before. You know, he could be like a Carson Palmer and say, you know what, I don't need to play with y'all. I can go somewhere else.
Right.
Although Carson went and played again, he didn't retire. Urlacher retired. What do you say about his situation? And then, this is another debate that's going on. They're talking about he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. But you got to remember, him, Rondy Barber, and Ray Lewis on the same Hall of Fame ticket. So we'll get to that. But what do you think about his whole situation first?
Pro football is a dog-eat-dog business, man. It's exciting to watch, but when you're dealing with some of these teams, especially the Chicago Bears, who happen to be a pretty tight team, meaning they don't freely spend money on players, and he's an aging player. He's the face of the franchise for the most part, Brian Urlacher for the Chicago Bears, the present-day Chicago Bears. But it's a dog-eat-dog cold business, and it was obvious that he had taken a step back, not that he couldn't perform to a high level, but not high enough, I guess, for the new regime. And they decided to make a business decision, try to shortchange him, which I think would be an insult, especially to a player that's given so much to the franchise, that you would insult him with an offer that you know that he's not going to take. And that's just a bailout, just to say, well, we offered him something, but he didn't take it. So, but you offered him something because you knew he wouldn't take it. So, and if he did, then you left behind closed doors because you got him for a song and a dance. And no player with a lot of pride like Brian Urlacher would stand for that. And he wanted to retire with one jersey, and I can't blame him. And I do think, you know, it's tough because he played the same position as Ray Lewis, inside linebacker. But I do believe he's a first-time Hall of Famer. I got to believe it. He was a staple on that defense. He anchored that defense for quite a while. And he was the man in the Chicago at the time as a middle linebacker. So it's going to be very interesting. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That becomes my question, JT. You know, if you think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm.
are you going to put two middle linebackers in the Hall of Fame at the same time? Because Ray Lewis is also a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I understand that.
He mm-hmm. you know, the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not in the same way that the Urlacher did, because Urlacher, he was very good in the cover two, the Tampa two.
Mm-hmm.
But you never saw Brian in other defenses for a long period of time. Ray Lewis was in the 4-3, the 3-4, the hybrid of the 3-4, and all these other things. And he maintained his abilities. So this becomes my question. You know, if you have to compare those two stat for stat, you know, Urlacher leads him in interceptions and stuff like that. I believe, like, in 2006 or 2007, Urlacher had 12 interceptions at linebacker. That's unheard of.
That's unheard
you know
of.
I mean?
Exactly, yes. It is. That is unheard of.
But
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying, I don't see how he goes in before Ray or at the same time as Ray.
Let me put it this way. Didn't they just in the Hall of Fame, was it this year or last year, have some offensive linemen or defensive linemen, more than one, go into the Hall of Fame at the same time? So
different genres, different eras. Different eras. We're talking about players of the same era, though.
I understand
you know,
that, but...
put in, like... Go ahead.
Didn't they put in, regardless of what era, if they got put in at the same time, regardless of what era it was, but they got put in the same class of the Hall of Fame, even though it was the same different eras, the same position. So,
but that's the point, Jay. That's the point. You can be a dominant offensive lineman in your era and
mm-hmm.
still be considered a Hall of Famer. But if you are from the same era, you know, they can't say, okay, well, you two were the, you know, neck and neck. You two were the best middle linebackers of your era. Because they have, even though Ray came in a little bit before Brian,
mm-hmm.
They'll be looked at the same time frame.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the difference. That's the difference in putting in two linemen or whatever at the same time. You've got Marion Motley going in at the same time as Dick Butkus. Two different eras, you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. I understand exactly what you're saying. In my opinion, these two guys were two outstanding guys. I can't see reason why they both don't go in at the same time. I understand what you're saying, that they man the same position. But these guys were two outstanding guys. I mean, outstanding guys that, in my opinion, weren't going in first ballot. Both of them. Quite naturally, if I had to choose one of them, it would be Ray Lewis, who would go in first ballot, and Brian Urlacher probably the next year. But in my opinion, both these guys should go in at the same time. Both these guys should go in the same time. Like you said, you got Rondé Barber, but Rondé Barber is a totally different position. But he's a defensive player too. So, but I mean, so we'll have to wait and see. I mean, Rondé Barber is a different story. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was just using him as you know, one of the big names that actually left this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we'll see in 5 years. One of them's going in for the first time on the first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
The other might go in the next year. But it'll be interesting. It will be interesting. So let's jump on into what's going on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Sorry. I had it right here in my stupid face. What are we going to talk about? Urlacher, NFL. MMA. MMA. I wanted to get to that.
Okay.
You know what? Screw you, dude.
Go right ahead, man. Go right ahead. I'm just messing with you. Go right ahead.
You know what? That's not what I was going to get into. I was going to transition to this, the top 100, whereas we see the first of the three rookie sensation quarterbacks show up with Russell Wilson showing up at 51. I want to talk about, you know, from 60 to 51 because I wouldn't put Vincent Jackson above the muscle hamster. I wouldn't put him above Suggs. I would put him above Victor Cruz, but last year Victor Cruz had a very good year, but again, it was predicated upon Hakeem Nicks. And you talked about this during the football season. You know, how if Hakeem Nicks isn't there, Victor Cruz is not the number one guy. You know, you talk about that, and that was very important for people to know, especially me, because I had him. And I saw that towards the end of the season when I needed Victor Cruz the most, when Hakeem wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about it. We go from 60 to 51. We got Jared Allen at 60, Derek Johnson, Victor Cruz, the muscle hamster, Doug Martin, Terrell Suggs, Jason Pierre-Paul, Julius Peppers, Champ Bailey, Vincent Jackson, and Russell Wilson. Now, I didn't know this until they revealed it, but Champ only gave up one touchdown the entire season. But against the Ravens, he gave up the two most costly touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still listed as the number 53 best player in the NFL of last year. So tell me some things you see in this set of 10 that was a shakeup, or something you just don't think is right.
Give me those hold on a minute here. Let me just write this down.
I'll tell you again. You had Jared Allen, the Minnesota Vikings at 60. Derek Johnson, middle linebacker of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs, I know that.
Victor Cruz, Doug Martin, Terrell Suggs, Jason Pierre-Paul, Julius Peppers, Champ Bailey, Vincent Jackson, then Russell Wilson. Everybody here is pretty much a big name that you would know, except for Derek Johnson.
Right.
Not too many people know Derek Johnson's name, whereas the rest of these guys, they at least have heard their name more than once on SportsCenter, you know. But talk to me. What do you think?
So,
like,
I think
Vincent Jackson should be above. Vincent Jackson should not be above Ben Roethlisberger or Alfred Morris. In my opinion,
and Vincent Jackson is where?
Number 52.
Just Vincent Jackson's 52.
Yep.
Get out of here.
He's just above Champ Bailey, Julius Peppers, Jason Pierre-Paul, Terrell Suggs, Doug Martin, Victor Cruz, Derek Johnson, and Jared Allen.
Wow. Vincent Jackson, 52. I have
Wilson
a problem with
51.
That. Okay. Well, Russell Wilson, I can understand him being 51. The type of year he had. Middle of the pack, that's about right for Russell Wilson. But Vincent Jackson, you can't be serious. Let me put it this way. Vincent Jackson, in my opinion, out of these 10, should be the number 60. Out of these 10. He should be number 60, and these guys move up. There's no way Vincent Jackson is number 52, in my opinion. No way. No way.
Well, he is, so.
Well, and the thing about it, it's voted on by the players. I don't see what the players saw that would put Vincent Jackson.
It's not just the players, though. It's not just the players. That's the one thing that's revealed. Some of the players vote, Then there's some of the fans that vote. And it's somewhat like the Hall of, not the Hall of Fame, the Pro Bowl. But the players vote has the majority of the power. So.
Wow.
So go ahead.
I have a problem with Vincent Jackson being number 52 for one. Doug Martin, 57. Is that right?
Doug Martin is 57, yes.
I think Doug Martin should be higher, too. I think Doug Martin should probably be take the spot of Vincent Jackson, number 52. Doug Martin was an explosive player and an extremely good player last year. Terrell Suggs, 56, 55. I don't know, man. I mean, he came back, but was he that good last year? In my opinion,
he was good.
Was he 56? Good? 56, 55,
maybe.
Whatever he was? Was he that
maybe,
good last year? Huh?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Champ Bailey only had one interception thrown on him, other in the regular season I'm talking about. Champ Bailey, in my opinion, is still a top talent and should be with, not even in this group. Champ Bailey should not be in this group, in my opinion. Should not be in this group. He should be above this group. Huh?
I'm saying, really, why do you say that?
Champ, are you kidding me? Champ Bailey's still one of the better cornerbacks in the league. I don't care how many years he's been playing. He's still been able to play it at a high level. And just because you just told me he only had one touchdown thrown on him all year tells me that he still is an elite cornerback. And there's not too many elite cornerbacks that can put that claim to fame that only getting burnt for one touchdown in a pass-happy league all year.
Well, I think that part of that is his reputation. People are like, okay, well, we're not going to throw on him. But when they do throw on him, he does make a play on the ball. I really hate the fact that he left the Redskins because I'm looking at what we could have had for a very long time.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That's your ultimate wisdom in your management.
I'll be quiet.
Well, it's true. I'm just keeping it real. Ultimate, you know, not every decision that this management makes, in regards to what team, is the right decision. And that comes to light. I want to talk about something, not right now, but when we get a chance. There's another management I want to talk about, how suspect their decision-making is on players. But we'll talk about it.
Is it football, baseball, or what?
Football. It's football. It's football.
Okay.
It's definitely football.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Well, I believe we got my cousin on the line. So let me bring him in before we jump to the playoffs.
Here we go.
Yeah, I know.
Are you ready for this?
World. I guess. What's up, Mike?
In this corner, we got the black body snatch. What did I talk about, Snow?
Well, we're talking
what
about,
talk about?
We're talking about the top 100 NFL players and the 10 that were just revealed. We both agreed that Vincent Jackson should not be number 52 over a lot of these players. Russell Wilson is number 51. You have behind Vincent Jackson, you have Julius Peppers, Pierre Paul, Victor Cruz, Jared Allen, Doug Martin, Terrell Suggs, and a couple other folks that we feel are better than Vincent Jackson, but he's voted on as the 52nd best player in the NFL this past year. Now, granted, he had a lot. He did well. He did well. But I don't think he did better than his teammate, Doug Martin, who was number 57. So that's just my opinion. That's where we're at. What are your thoughts?
The player, I thought the players voted on this joint. So, I mean, it ain't no... I mean, so I mean, it's not no no good science to this. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think they use that as some type of plausible deniability too. But
what do you mean? What do you mean?
I mean, because you know people. I mean, because you know people like us. We're gonna sit around here and debate it and whatnot, but. If you're looking at it, if you're looking at it, the players voted on it, I mean, what can you say? I mean, we can speculate. Yeah, I think there's other players that's better than him. You know, Terrell Suggs should be high, way higher than that. You know what I mean? But maybe because he's ugly, that's why he below him. I don't know, man.
Oh,
well, Jerry doesn't think he belongs that high because he missed some of the season. So,
yeah.
You know, y'all disagree on that.
I mean, I know we honestly don't. You know what I mean? I really don't have an opinion. I mean, I really don't care. Because, like I said, seriously. Because this is what I'm saying to you. The players voted on the joint. I mean, what you can say? Well, I mean, how you going to have me debating with them when I really don't care? I mean, I don't have anything. I don't have a dog in that fight. Really don't.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we're talking about. We're about to move on to a different subject matter.
Saying, y'all made it sound like y'all was talking about Mayweather or something. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
You know what? I'm gonna hang up on that dude.
Why even go there? Why did you just say that?
Because I can't be quiet.
Okay.
No, we're going to talk about UFC 160 real quick before we jump to the playoff.
Oh, my God.
See? Why y'all go there then? Yeah. Uh-huh. Shut your mouth.
Because we don't watch that shit. That's why.
Can you watch your mouth? Jeez. No. I don't care if you don't watch it. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, now we got the censors out. While he was away, he was dropping F-bombs, everything.
Well, y'all were?
No, you were. You jumped on a few times and were dropping F-bombs. You kidding me?
Maybe once or twice. I don't remember.
You got short-term memory loss now.
Yes, I do. But let's get to this card real quick. You can see the preliminaries on at 6:30 online at Facebook. If you go look up UFC online on Facebook, you'll be able to see the card and see the preliminary matches and what's going to happen with it. Again, that began 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. However, what you'll get are a bunch of good fights that promise to grab the average person. What I mean by that is if you look at a fight, whether it's boxing, UFC, yeah, mixed martial arts or kickboxing or whatever it is you look at, you're going to not always have a fight or several fights on there that are just like, they just put them in there just to fill time. On this card, you have big implications in every division. In the heavyweight division, you have the champion, Cain Velasquez, going against Bigfoot Silva, who I talked about earlier on the show, and Strikeforce. About a couple years ago, Cain destroyed this guy, but I guess Silva, he learned from all of from that fight and the years in between that he can beat Velasquez. Well, he gets his opportunity to do so again this week or tonight for the world title. The co-main event happens to be Junior Dos Anjos, the former UFC heavyweight champion, who take on Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt is a big guy. He's a heavy hitter, heavy-handed guy that only knows one thing, go forward. He's a slugger. Both of these guys are sluggers. I give the edge on the ground to Mark Hunt because even though he's a big, out-of-shape dude, he knows how to get on the ground and do jiu-jitsu. But this bout is for the number one contender. The winner of this fight faces the winner of the world title fight in 3 months. How do I see that fight coming out? If they're on their feet and they make it a slugfest, Dos Santos is heavy-handed and will knock Mark Hunt out. Even though Mark Hunt, he's a big Samoan guy, heavy chin, heavy jaw, Mark Hunt cannot go past the third round. That is his Achilles heel. Because he's not in the best of shape, he cannot make it to the round. So Junior Dos Santos can keep running on the feet and make a slugfest and take it to the third round, he'll put away Mark Hunt. Then you have Texeria versus Tejuna. Texeria is another one of these guys that's a big guy. He's known for his punching power, but he's one of those guys that you'll say he has a lot of potential, but can he realize it? That's the thing. He takes too many shots for me, but I think he'll dispatch of Tejuna fairly easily and move his way up in the ranks. Then you go to Greg Maynard versus Mr. Grant. Now, this should be a good fight. Maynard is one of these tough-nosed guys that will fight you to the bitter end. And I mean to the bitter end. You can't finish him. Just ask, I forgot his name. But he was a very fast and very unique fighter that they had three epic bouts that went down as some of the best fights in UFC history. But let's get to the fights you're going to see on Facebook or on FX. You have Thompson versus Burrell. These are two nice, young, up-and-coming guys that are going to give you a good show. It shouldn't be a slugfest. It should be more of a technical fight. So if you're into the technique of MMA, that'll be a good fight for you. Some folks don't like it because it'll probably be a lot of wrestling and jiu-jitsu in it. But the fan of MMA will enjoy this fight. You have Bowles versus Roop, and Stevenson versus Payon. Stevenson versus Payon, these are the fights that are going to be on Facebook again. That will be your slobber knocker. That will be your fight. Okay, if you want to see just blood and fist flying, that'll be the fight for you. In all, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
just 12 fights.
Yeah, 12 fights on this card. And each one of them offer you a unique style, but it's designed, and I know UFC has done this. They have put together cards that are geared toward a certain style. So the bulk of these fighters are going to stand up on their feet and give you your money's worth. You have some that are going to take it to the ground and show you a mixed bag of stuff. But for the most part, this card is full of nothing but slugfest fighters. So it should be interesting, and I plan to look at it tonight and enjoy it. So, with that being said, UFC 160, you can buy it, you can rent it, you can look at it on whatever channel or service you want, but I think it's going to be worth the money that you spend on it. Let's move on to the next subject matter. We got about, 21 minutes left of the show, so this should be an interesting topic to talk about. We're going to move on to the NBA, and a hell of a series between the Pacers and the Heat thus far. It's a hell of a series, and it's gotten really physical, and it's going to continue to be that way. Here's Roy Hibbert on the physical play between the Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers.
I embrace that, seeing us getting texts and still being up and still fighting, having Coach Shaw get a tech You know, that energizes me, and I love it. You know, I relish that stuff, man. And, you know, we like physical play, and, you know, we don't complain, but, you know, we're not going to back down. You know, they could be the champs, but, you know, we're coming for them.
Now, before I let you guys comment on that soundbite, I'm going to do an indictment on John Thompson III. Here's my indictment. He has this guy at Georgetown and didn't implore a physical style of play to the Princeton offense, which is more of a finesse style of offense, and okay, I mean, you just play defense. When I hear Roy Hibbert say this, it makes me think what Georgetown could have done with him if they just went back to that style of play that they had with Patrick Ewing, with Alonzo Mourning, and players like that when John Thompson Jr. was at the helm. The third, he had this monster, and he didn't unleash him. The Pacers are unleashing him. The Pacers are unleashing him, and it makes me think, what if? But with that being said, let's talk about Hibbert just said about the play, and where do we see this series going? I'm going to start with Mike and then JT. Michael. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you had it on me?
Yeah, I go away from the phone when you want to talk and hear yourself talk. But,
Oh, boy.
See? That gets from you. But go ahead. Come on.
Oh, I ain't finished with you. I find it so delightful to watch this style of basketball. You know, I like fights. You know what I'm saying? I like it when it gets to scrapping. But I find it so delightful to see that you've come around. Because, you know, you switch sides quicker than a car flipping over. And don't even remember the size you flipped from. Oh, really? Oh, really? You sitting up here talking about how they need to go ahead and unleash this dude, and what would have happened if they would have unleashed him in Georgetown and whatnot? Because Indiana happens to be playing the Miami Heat. You know what I'm saying? But when it was Chicago playing Miami Heat, like, I don't like this style of ball. I don't like this fight.
No. I didn't say that. What I'm saying, okay, since you're going to bring that up, the issue that I had with the Chicago Heat series, it wasn't that they were physical. That wasn't it. What I was getting at was how physical it got. I like a physical style of basketball, but all the pushing and the grabbing LeBron, okay, I mean, I got it. You ain't got to do that. All the texts or something were called in that series, it was pretty unnecessary. But if you're going to play hard basketball, play hard basketball. Don't play street ball and call it hard basketball, because that's what that series was. I wanted the Bulls to win. I did. I don't want the Heat to do anything, to be honest. But I like the style of play that the Pacers are bringing to the Heat. I mean, you're seeing the mutual respect between the two. I don't really think that you can get that between Chicago and Miami, because they just don't like each other. They don't respect each other. There's a difference in style of play when you do it that way versus what the Pacers are doing in this series. That's what I'm saying about that.
But where I'm confused at, and where you lose me, is you say physical basketball. Victor, physical basketball is physical basketball. I don't care how they play. You know what I'm saying? If there's more animosity there at Chicago, that's much more better. You know what I'm saying? But if you sit up here playing softly, finessely, you're going to get punched in the mouth. Straight up. You know what I'm saying?
But I think
this youngin' if this youngin' gonna bring it, he need to bring it hard, and he need to bring it rugged. He need to bring it like Chicago bring it. If he don't, then he might as well just go back home to Indiana, because that's the only way it's gonna happen. The style of play that you don't like is the only way that they gonna get it. Because if they don't, because they got enough talent to really get at Miami. But Miami is a notch better, one notch better. The only way to knock them off that notch is they're going to have to wreck them. He's going to have to wreck them. They got this big imposing 7-foot dude, and you sitting up here saying it. You amening it. You amening it. But you're gonna try, play it back some, you know, because they respect them. Man, whatever. Get out of here.
That's your thought process. Let's move to JT. Get it, JT.
Well, I had said it on Thursday, and I'll say it again. And they should have won the first game. They had the game in the grasp. They screwed up not having Roy Hibbert in there, which I thought was a huge mistake. And I went on for about a half an hour talking on the show on Thursday about it, about how screwed up that 2.2 seconds at the end of the game was for Indiana and the coaching decision he made in keeping Hibbert out of the game. Hibbert scored 29 points in the win against Miami the other night. Right now, in reality, right now, Miami should be down 0-2. In reality, they're 1-1. Indiana, regardless of whoever it likes the Miami Heat, it's outplaying Miami right now. They're outplaying Miami. And Miami's having a problem, just like I thought they would, with the big man in the middle, because they don't have anybody comparable to go up against him. And Chris Bosh is a finesse type of center who likes to shoot jump shots and doesn't like to mix it up inside where Roy Hibbert makes his money at. In my opinion, and I know this is probably going to cause some people to say, I don't know what I'm talking about, Miami's in trouble. In my opinion, Miami is in deep trouble. Because Indiana has not lost at home. Miami is in deep trouble going to Indiana. They should have been down 0-2. They were lucky enough to be tied going to Indiana and to play the playoffs games in Indiana is extremely tough. They had a hard series with Indiana last year. Indiana is a little more stronger than they were and a little smarter and older than they were last year and more experienced playing Miami. I do believe Miami is in deep trouble, especially with a hobbled Dwayne Wade.
Well, I agree with you 110%. And this was said at the end of game one. I can't remember which commentator said it, but it was one of the TNT guys. But to me, it was obvious who the better team was. Even at the end of game one, it was a loss for the Pacers, but they were obviously the better team. And that's the key word, team. Not a collection of players working, you know, together. They are a team. And just imagine if Danny Granger was healthy. I don't know if George would have blossomed like he did this year, but you put those guys together, and they will be even more patient. You know, George, I mean, I didn't think George was going to do that good of a job, you know, defensively in this series, but he's doing a heck of a job. And those guys are scrapping. And the coach is as cool as a cucumber. You know, he's just saying every loose ball. That's what wins.
He's cool as a cucumber, right?
I mean, he got a tech.
Victor, you never cease to amaze me with this nonsense you be talking.
Like,
never cease to admit. Never cease to amaze.
Come on. Be quiet.
I mean,
so
I don't got him cool as a cucumber. I mean, when he put Youngin in that last game, you got a 1-1 thing going on. I don't think that Miami's in deep trouble. I think they're in trouble. I don't think they're in deep trouble.
You know what I'm saying? Because of course they're gonna have an issue with Roy Hibbert. You know what I'm saying? Hey, they're gonna have a problem with Roy Hibbert, but. I think LeBron is going to figure out a way. I think he's going to figure out a way because last year, the young man earned a strike. He earned a strike. But he still haven't got there like 100%, but he's further than Durant. You know what I'm saying? He's not as far as Kobe is, but I don't see any other player in the league that's like that. So I think he could take
He possibly can, but right now he's calling out his other players, and he's saying they need to improve their shooting from the outside. So let's hear what he has to say real quick.
The outside shot isn't there for the guys that have been hitting all year, you know, for a couple of reasons. The rhythm. We have to figure out a way to get our shooters into the game more instead of just trying to, you know, get them the ball and make them make a tough one, you know, late in the game, you know, from Ray or from Rio or from Shane. We have to figure out to get them some shots early in the game where they feel like they're part of the offense.
And that's the problem I see right there with the Heat. They don't work as a team. And LeBron just expressed it right there. He said that the shots haven't been falling that we're doing all year long when they were just kicking it out for them, whatever the case may be. They don't have plays set up for these guys. There is just LeBron and Wade and maybe a little bit of Bosh, and then we'll throw in Chalmers, and then we'll throw in Norris Cole or whoever to help sprinkle in and offset. Indiana, they tend to spread the ball around a little bit. They don't rely solely on George. They don't rely solely on Hibbert. They have a lot of plays, or it seems like, let me put it that way, they have a lot of plays that seemingly are working toward the team concept, not just get a ball to LBJ and clear out, or get a ball to Wade and clear out. It's a lot of screens, a lot of high-low picks, stuff like that, you know, giving goals. And I'm just saying, that's what I see. So, with that being said, Mike, real quick, what do you think about what LBJ said and then Jerry?
I just think that they just need to step it up a little bit more. I think your analysis is so swayed. You know what I mean? I know what you're talking about, but you know it very much is it, as it always is. But you know, the Miami offense always has been around those the big three. It always has. You know what I'm saying? And now they incorporated some more little screenplays and little picks and stuff for Jesus Shuttleworth or whatever, but that is the way the team has been constructed. And then also, you know, when they brought in the different role players, that's their role. Their role is to support the big three. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I feel where you're coming from. Your analysis is just too swayed and it's too much hate in it. You know what I'm saying? It's too much hate in it. But it is. It is. Victor, you do it all the time. You do it all the time. But you know what I'm saying? I like Indiana style of ball. They do have a far more involved team concept than the Miami Heat. But don't sit here and say, you know what I'm saying, that you know that is superior to Miami, because you don't know that yet. It's looking like they're going to win this. If they keep it up, they should be able to do something here. But I fully expect LBJ and them to turn it up, and I expect that hobbled Dwayne Wade to come through. You know what I'm saying? Shoot like he not as hobbled as he is.
Well,
okay.
when the Indiana Pacers played the favored New York Knicks, everyone was wondering what happened to the Knicks shooting. The Knicks were turning the ball over left and right, and the Knicks shooting wasn't what it was prior, like in the regular season. Well, deja vu all over again. Now they're playing the Miami Heat. They're trying to find out what happened to Miami Heat's shooting. They're turning the ball all over. And they're saying it's got something to do with the Miami Heat. I'm saying it has to do with the style of play, especially on the defensive end of the Indiana Pacers, to be able to the defensive plan that the coaching staff has come up and the players are implementing to stymie the first the New York Knicks offense, now the Miami Heat offense. So I don't know if each game is a thing of adjustments. And right now, Indiana, for the most part, is getting the better of the adjustments because Miami is having difficulty in the shooting department. We'll have to see what happens in the first game in Indiana if Miami is able to make the right adjustments to compensate for the type of defensive play that they're being put on by Indiana. If not, then the same results that happened in game two and should have happened in game one is going to happen in game three.
Agree. We got about 4 minutes left alive there. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics here Saturday, May 25th. It's another beautiful day here in California. I'm enjoying it. Getting ready for my youngest son's birthday, so I'm going to get off here once this is done.
Is that my namesake?
Yes, it's your little bad namesake.
Victor. When you say it's my sad namesake, you're talking about your own son's name, too, now.
I know. That boy is bad. He's a smart aleck. He's a big smart aleck. Matter of fact, y'all saw the same. He thinks he knows it all. And he's old. He's an old
kid. Hold on. Wait. I'm confused. I am so confused. How is he gonna be like Jerry and thinks he knows it all when you think you know it all and you a smart aleck? I'm confused.
I'm
confused.
But I'm humble.
Humble? Really?
Yes.
Get out of here, man.
Can I end the show? Thank you. So, I want to thank everybody for Fantasy Sports Politics here on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're always looking for sponsorship or anything and everything that is out there to help publicize this group. We appreciate your support and look forward to you guys coming back next week. On Sunday, we've got the Master Plan with JTHAM Money starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this week, he says we're going to talk about fantasy baseball and a little bit more his strategy.
Yes.
Will be revealed according
yep.
to JT. On Monday, Sylvia Crawley Milbury. Time out with Sylvia Crawley. She's going to have a very special guest. This gentleman happens to be a Ohio State alumni. His name, Otis Winston. He's a producer and actor. He's going to come on the show, and he and Sylvia are going to talk about some time out moments. He also ran track at OU, or at the Ohio State, because OU is really Oklahoma, my alma mater. So we're going to have him on this Monday doing what she does, which is giving him a time out. Then on Thursday, we got the FSP Crew Show with JT, ATM Money, Jeff the Joker. And at some point, Black the Bookie. We know he's out here working for the Examiner as well as the Afro, making that money. Cha-ching, ching, ching. Then on Friday, we got Mac Williams with ATM Money again with No Chaser. From what I understand, that isn't a guest setup, but we'll find out when Mac throws something my way. We'll find out. But that's on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you got to love everything we got going on. And we appreciate all the love and support that we get from everybody out there. Keep the numbers going. Keep the love coming. Real quick, Mike, you got 20 seconds. promo, what you got?
GSRT, each and every Tuesday night, an open mic live form. Join myself and the rest of the GSRT crew as we get it in. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Great show.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to get ready to go off the air, so I'm going to give a parting shot to everybody, and then we're going to go. We're going to start with Mike, we're going to do Jerry, and then I'm in the show.
New York is one-dimensional. Miami is not one-dimensional. They are the champs, and they are champions. So I look for Eric Spoelstra and them to figure out a way to take the ball to the hole instead of shooting them jumpers. If they take the ball to the hole, it'll be, you know, who's supposed to win, and that's the Miami Heat.
I don't happen to be a Miami Heat follower. But I'm looking forward to the third game of this series. I think this is going to be a key game. I'm really excited about watching it to see it unfold, because I think the champ is coming down. But we'll see it come to the third game. With that being said, I'm going to be talking about tomorrow about one of the things that we're talking about is a football team not doing their homework on certain players, and that's all I got to say about that. Tune in tomorrow. You'll know what I'm talking about. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Master plan.
I think I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the JETS Jets, and Mike Goodson. I really think that's what's going on there, but we'll find out. Ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. Again, I want to thank everybody for participating and listening to our program. We're here to inform you, motivate you, and provide a bunch of variety. That's what we're doing, and we hopefully are doing a good job of it. We appreciate you guys. Come back next week. Every show, we're giving you what we got. So thanks for the support. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
In the right place, so take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We talk about